If the ushers may be set right now, I'm not sure, with the baskets of rocks. Are the ushers set with the baskets of rocks? And if not, we got a few over here. You guys come on in. We're just going to keep rolling this morning right into what we're talking about. So, ushers, you can go ahead and pass that. If everyone will take one rock, okay? We waited to do this till the kids left. We thought that would probably be better that we didn't have at least my fourth grader throwing rocks at everyone. So everyone just needs to take one rock. It will be helpful as we get into our teaching this morning. And today, we're going to be talking about worry. Okay. John is in a series right now, and he wanted to continue it. He ended a little bit, you know, he knows just where he, you know, wanted to be and where he wants to go, so he wanted to continue that series. So I'm going to do a standalone this morning on worry. I think we can all relate. I think we've all been worried at some point in our life, and so that's what we're going to be talking about today. If you are newer and have not heard me teach before, I may stutter a little bit. I'll just give you that heads up. I had speech therapy as I was growing up in elementary school, and I was a big-time stutterer. And so when God called me to the ministry in ninth grade, I found it kind of comical. He's, you know, me, the guy that stutters a little bit, but God said yes. So hopefully you'll be less distracted and hopefully see that God can still get the glory, because in our weakness, He is made strong. So hopefully you can hear that from it, but just understand, I know it. I'll try to do my best. I might say you know about 100 times, but hopefully we will get through and we'll learn together. So, looking at worry, and certainly this is going to signify this morning for us our worries, okay? Things that we're worried about. It may be one thing right now that you're going through that we're holding on to that's going to signify what we're worried about. It may signify lots of things, but we're going to be looking into the scriptures because there's a lot said about worry. We're going to start in Mark 4, okay? And actually, the teaching sheets there in your guides, it is fill in the blank that I'll be going through this morning as we teach through. So if you want to go ahead and pull that out, it says worry, Mark 4, Matthew 6 up top. And if you need a pen or if you need a teaching sheet, just slip your hand up and we'll get one of the ushers to get one to you. So it's right there. Mark 4, 1 through 9. This is a parable. Okay, Jesus is talking here. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. All through Scripture, as Jesus taught, He taught parables. He taught earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. So we're going to go 1 through 9. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around Him was so large that He got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore and at the water's edge. Verse 2, He taught them many things by parables. And in His teaching, He said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears, let him hear. We have a couple things from this parable. The seed that He's talking about here, this first blank, is the Word of God. The first blank there, what the seed represents, again, a parable is earthly story, heavenly meaning. A seed represents the Word of God in this story. Excuse me, the seed. The soil is the condition of the heart. The soil in this story here, for this parable, represents the condition of the heart. And I'm going to slide down to verse 18 there in Mark 4. So if you're still following along, I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. This is, again, still about this parable. It says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. We're going to be focusing this morning on the worries of this life, which kind of those others could be lumped into. You know, you know, the desires of other things and wealth, really we could kind of lump that into worries of this world. So the next thing there is worries, they choke fruitfulness. So that's why we want to look at it this morning, because there's certainly a lot in Scripture. And even the original Greek word there for choke is kind of a press in and press around and strangle. That's kind of the meaning of that word there. As we look, as the New Testament was written in Greek, it's that strangling. It's that choking out. And so we see what we want to understand is that we don't want to be lumped into that, okay? We as believers, for our soil, we want the good soil. We want the kind that when the seed hits, when the Word of God hits, that we're ready, that we're able to let it go down deep. But many times, as we look at weeds, which we're going to kind of, you know, look at worry as a weed today, kind of chokes our fruitfulness, doesn't let that seed get down deep. So the next passage as we continue here about this is Matthew 6, 25 through 34. So if you want to go ahead and flip there, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And if you don't have your Bibles, you have it on your phone maybe, you have it on a smartphone or whatever, we will also have it up here. Starting in 25, Matthew 6, Jesus teaching here. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life?" 28. "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." 33, this is where it ends, crunch time here. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And again, in 33 there, that seek first. There's a lot in Scripture about first. God wants us to seek him first. He wants us to put him first in our finances, in our family. There's a lot about first, giving him that first tithe, giving him our best time, not giving him leftovers. Same thing here. Not get caught up in the worries of this world, as we all do sometimes, and we seek other things, and then we seek him sometimes maybe last. But he's saying here, seek me first. So four times in these nine verses, this passage that we just looked at, four times it was, do not worry. Do not worry about this. Do not worry about that. So what message do you think Jesus wants us to get from that passage? Do not worry. Okay? So we understand that. We say, okay, if it's going to be repeated, some of you are teachers in here, some of you are educators, right? You have to teach it over and over again, right, for people to get it. And that's just the way we are. We learn. Okay, yeah, we got to remember that lesson again. We have to remember that lesson again. And we understand that we need to not do it. So how do we do that? That's what kind of gets, kind of gets more difficult. So the first thing here, as we're looking at how we're going to not worry, because obviously it's clear in Scripture, the number one there on the notes, we need to recognize worry as a significant threat. Okay? Recognize worry as a significant threat. Which may seem, in our minds, the way we think of threats may be different, but if we understand what we're talking about here, the reason why he cares a lot about worry is because it is a significant threat. And there's four things that worry is here, again, here on your notes. First of all, worry is destructive, okay? If we're constantly, focused on worry, and many times, right, the worries don't even ever happen, right? It's like 90% of our time worried of stuff that never even happens. That is destructive. It isn't constructive as we're trying to follow Christ. It kind of, rips the good out, even as it talked about worries of this life. Secondly, worry is obstructive. Okay? We have the spelling up here if you need it. Obstructive. It's a big word, right? It obstructs what we should be seeing. If something is in our view and it is obstructing, then we're not seeing what we should see. Because many times God's trying to do stuff, we're trying to follow Him, we're trying to go after Him, and we get this concern and we get this worry, and it you know, obstructs our view of God, or it obstructs a view of where we're wanting to go. Third way, it is reactive, okay? Reactive. Some of us who are parents try not to be reactive parents, right? I think we've all slipped up there. Sometimes we react when we shouldn't. And you know, same way for worry. We start reacting and worried about consequences that never even happened yet. We get worked up, and, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and we start reacting, and it hasn't even happened. So we want to make sure that we're not that way as well. Fourth one, it is restrictive, okay? Worry is restrictive. It holds us back. That's the definition of restrictive. It pulls us back, and instead of having the faith that God is going to conquer all, we get into that restrictive thinking, into that poverty thinking, into that, you know, impossibility thinking, that, well, we can't do it, because, you know, I mean, you know, that's how the worries come in. And so God wants us to be having that faith and knowing that, you know, not getting trapped into that, but, you know, it would be like running with a 100-pound bag tied on us, that we're trying to run the race for Christ, and we've got this 100-pound bag of worries, you know, kind of holding us back. So it's just harder and harder to get there, and so we want to make sure that we get it out, because again, it's all about our perspective and our focus. So going to blank two here, we understand, first of all, one, that it's a significant threat. Two, we must uproot worry aggressively. Okay, two, we must uproot worry aggressively. How many of you guys garden, or have gardened, or are good at like gardening, like the, okay. I'll just pick on someone who would like to talk about weeds real quick. Anyone who has done a lot of weeding in your life, anyone who wants to say, not weed, talk about weeds, okay? Different topic altogether, okay? Different topic about past, we're going weeds in the garden. So, who would like to? Anyone like to do that? Okay, Yanni, come on up. Actually, you can just stand up right where you are, and you'll just be loud for us. Okay, why do we, actually, yeah, you're already making your way, so that's good. Cordless mic. Rob, did you hand it to me? Thank you. Up on the stand. This is Yanni. Everyone say hi to Yanni. Okay, so she's going to talk about weeds this morning. Okay, come on up. So, Why is it important to get weeds?
Because if you don't get the weeds, then they overtake the entire garden, and pretty soon you don't have the healthy plants, and you'll have nothing but weeds growing there.
Okay, that's good. Would everyone agree with her on this? Everyone agree with this? That weeds get in there, right? It might look great at first, and then the weeds get in there. So how often do you have to deal with the weeds?
Every time you see one.
Every time
you see one.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Can we give it up for Yanni? I know that was very short. Thank you. It's good. Very simple, right? We can't ignore them, right? And we can understand that when we're wanting to garden, because if you ignore them, then they'll look like my house, which is just trimmed weeds right now. So I know my wife can attest to that. Thank you, honey. Can I get a witness? Okay. I'm trying to get better and trying to learn. But if we ignore them, right? I mean, it can look great where you get the mulch down, everything great, but then you get that one weed up, right? And then soon it becomes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? So if we ignore the weeds, they're just going to keep going. And that happens a lot in our spiritual life, right? There's just that weed there kind of, you know, choking us out, and we'll just talk about worry now. We just kind of ignore it. We just kind of keep getting focused on it, and then soon it overtakes, soon it strangles, soon it gets in, because just as in a garden, we can't ignore it at all. So we're going to go to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we understand that we shouldn't be worrying. It's going to choke out. We got to uproot these, deals. You know, we have to uproot these in an aggressive way. Same as Johnny said, we've got to be aggressive with the weeds. We've got to uproot this worry. And so this verse right here, this passage tells us how to do it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we've got an acrostic here. It's very easy for us to understand that we shouldn't worry. And now hopefully this is a practical application as we look here about how not to do this out of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The T is tell God our needs, worries, and concerns. And this is the practical way. How do we uproot? Because all of us would say that we should trust God, right? How many would say in this room that we should always trust God? Hands up, right? We should always trust God, right? But we would also agree that there's times that we don't trust God, right? How many would say there are some times in our lives that we don't trust God? So we all say that we should, but we don't do that because we have to uproot this worry. So first thing is, tell God our needs, worries, and concerns. Okay, the R. We need to release control and concerns to God, because many times we tell Him it, but we don't really give it to Him, right? There's many times in Scripture saying, let me lead. He wants us to, take on His yoke, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. As we follow Him, it's certainly much better for us to do this. Because what we do, okay, let's just, use this rock again. We all have it. I know I've done this, that, okay, I'm praying about this rock. I've got this worry, I've got this concern, right? And so, okay, God, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm gonna give it to you. So I put it in God's bag, right? And we maybe go a little bit of time, right? At least for me, maybe you too. Well, we kind of then, okay, well, I don't really want you to have that. I'll take that back and I'll put it in my bag, right? We've not really released the control. And then we can, okay, God, well, here you go. I'll, get the concern again. I'll give it back to you. And then it goes a little bit, okay, no, let me get it back. And, right? It's kind of back and forth. God's saying, was it mine or is it yours? Are you going to give it to me or are you not? And He loves us and He cares for us. But, what we need to do is to release that and have faith and say, God, I'm giving this to you. Keep it in your bag. I don't want it in my bag. And so that's what we need to be doing as we're truly releasing that, control to Him. The U goes with it. Unconditionally surrender to God's authority and His will. Okay? Understand that that is an unconditional thing. But here's the deal. He knows that we get stressed. He knows that it's not easy to just give this stuff over, because even right before He was about to be crucified, which He's God, we believe in the Holy Trinity. He was, He was fully God, fully man down here on earth. He knew the plan, right? And as He's in the garden, right before He's being crucified, he's praying to God, God, please, if it is your will, can this cup pass? Meaning, can I not be put to death? Can this cup of suffering pass from me? But He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? So he understands that it's hard for us to give that over, right? Because He was here. He went through all the things that we have gone through, and He understands it was hard even for Him to put that into His own Father's bag. And that's a deep concept, as He's part of the Trinity, but He understands that. So when we have that hard time giving that, unconditional surrender, He understands, because He's been there trying to give that over to Him so He can have compassion on us. The S there, stand firm, right? Maybe someone guessed that. Stand firm on the character of God and promises of God. And this happens, this can happen early in your Christian walk as you see God's faithfulness, but certainly after you've walked with Him for a long time, right? We understand the character of God. We can see His goodness. We can see His promises. So maybe there's some of you out there, you say, well, you know what? I've not seen His goodness, or I've not felt it. Maybe you're kind of earlier in your journey, or not been walking with Him for a while. Even in our sufferings, Okay, that's when we really see his character. That's when we really see that happen. And even in bad times, again, even you know the illustration right there. Even as Christ was himself going through hard times of, do I really want to do this? Can you have this cup pass? He still saw God's character, his goodness, that he keeps his promises. So we may be going through a tough time, but we have to say, God, your ways are higher than my ways. And I don't know exactly why this thing is happening, but we trust in Romans 8, 28 and 29. It says that you know nothing can separate us from his love, and that God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Not that everything is good. When we become a Christian, it's never promised in Scripture, you'll have a great, easy life, problem-free now. Because that's just not the way it works. And so many times people think, well, how can I still have problems if God's a good God? There's sin in this world, there's a mess, you know, it's been this way for forever, and we see his faithfulness in the good and the bad. And that's what that whole passage of Romans is that he works it out all together for the good, not that all things are good, which is very, very tough. But as we're doing that, we need to stand firm, knowing that he's going to get us through. Next one, T, we need to take responsibility for our relationship with Christ and obedience to his word. Okay? It's us. Again, he's faithful. All of this goes together. He's faithful. We stand firm on it. But at some point, as Christ followers, as we are trying to do this, I have to take it for me. You have to take it for you. Take the responsibility of our relationship with Christ in obedience to his word. Your relationships with other people, at some point, you have to take the relationship. You have to take the responsibility for your relationship, whether it with a spouse, a friend, children. It comes down to, right, me saying, I have to take this responsibility. You know, Matthew 6:33, okay? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We can only do that for ourselves. I can only seek first for me. You can only seek first for you. And as we do that, understanding obedience to his word, taking the responsibility for it. Three, the next blank there. We need to build our resistance against worry. We need to build our resistance against worry. We understand this. Some of you guys work out, right? Some of you guys, how many have ever worked out in your life? You ever lifted weights some way, right? Lifted weights. You are pushing against resistance, right? You kind of, and it's okay if you haven't worked out in a long time, you can still raise your hand, because I haven't in a while, but I'm raising my hand, right? I understand that as we push against that resistance, we get stronger, right? We don't leave the resistance where it is. And so that's kind of a real tough concept as we're, following Christ, that we are going to get problems and we are going to have resistance. But there's a lot in Scripture about as we go through sufferings, as we go through valleys, he's faithful. He's there. And he wants us to grow, as we move forward. Working out, growing, right, muscles comes from pushing against resistance. Same way as we have worry, we want to grow, we want to build our resistance against it so we'll be stronger, so we can recognize it and see it and say, God was faithful then, he's going to be faithful now. Story from the Old Testament, David, when he killed Goliath, right? He had already seen God's faithfulness, even during, as the story goes, he gets three stones, which, don't throw stones at me, we're not going to work on that, yeah, realistic outworking of that passage, but he was able to have the faith and confidence of saying, God has been with me as I've killed the lion, as I've killed the bear, as I've done these things, as he was protecting sheep, so certainly God's going to be with me now as I face the giant. He had the faith, he was able to verbalize it, to proclaim it, and say, well, okay, God's already done this. Again, that's about the whole character deal, right? That's about the standing on it and seeing where it is and then moving forward. So we're going to look at Philippians 8 and 9 now. We're going to look at Philippians 8 and 9, which kind of goes after where we already looked at the practical application of 4, 6, and 7. So as we build our resistance against worry, what this should be, Philippians 8 and 9, the next blank here, this should be our filter, okay? This should be our filter for all of our thoughts before we allow them into our lives. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Because worry starts as a thought, okay? All of us. And again, I'm certainly been there. We've certainly dealt with our own seasons of, you know, worry. It starts with a thought. And then we build it, and it kind of, you know, gets, you know, into the emotions and stuff. But what this is saying here, as our filter, Philippians 8:9, which is the next blank, our filter for all thoughts before we allow them into your life. Is it true? That's normally, you know, a good place to start. Because the enemy is called the father of what? Lies. He's wanting us to believe lies about ourselves, wanting us to believe lies about our faith. So is it, first of all, true? Can we back it up with Scripture? Okay, is it noble? Is it admirable? On and on and on and on. Well, that should be our filter for allowing these thoughts in our lives, and then we don't get, you know, caught up in those thoughts of worries. Is it true? We have to know that it comes from God. So as we go here, again, I have another acrostic here for us as we practically live out his peace, because I love it the way it says here in 9, and the God of peace will be with you. Because really, as we're in this worry, what we want is peace. You know, we want not to be worried. We want not to be stressed. So what do we want? We want the God of peace, as he's going to be ruling in our hearts, ruling and reigning with us here. Okay, so we're going to look at the P. First one there, know my position in Christ. Goes to truth. Okay, again, whatever is true, whatever is pure. Our position in Christ, if we are saved, if we are believers, if we've come to a point where we've said, Jesus, I believe in you, I trust in you, there's no magic words, it's all about heart condition. Okay? If we are in him, if we've trusted in him, we understand, and we can have that peace knowing that he loves us, he's going to protect us, he's going to be there in the storms, not prevent us from storms. So we need to know that we've trusted him, we have a relationship with him. I can trust, I have a relationship with my wife. My position is married to Cresta. I understand that. I can be confident in that because that is the position. Same as in Christ. If we've trusted him, he wants us to have the assurance that, hey, he lives in us, he's with us, and you know that is what our position is. That's why he died on the cross, to save us from our sins and say, you've got all your junk, I love you anyway, let me be your Savior. So we need to trust in that as our, you know, position. E, we need to adjust our expectations, adjust my expectations about life. Okay? Again, this goes into the, well, if we are Christians, then nothing bad will ever happen to us. In fact, it's the other way. We are promised suffering. In Scripture, we are promised trials. We are promised suffering. And so we need to, you know, adjust our expectations. There's nowhere in Scripture that says, thou shalt have a perfect life. Can't find it. You can look through all the versions everywhere. Thou shalt have a perfect life isn't there. So we need to look. And even in Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's expectations. As we're in storms, understanding where we are, okay? A, check my attitude regularly. Always good advice. Good for me, good at any time, certainly as it relates to Christ. Check my attitude regularly. Because when we have the bad attitudes, that kind of can foster those worries growing. It's like, well, God's not going to show up. We get into that poverty thinking and the impossibility thinking, when we should be thinking, no, my attitude is, my position is in Christ. My attitude is the same as that of Christ Jesus. All through Scripture is that we can keep seeking. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. So if the peace of God is ruling in our hearts, as it says, then our attitude is going to be seeking after him. Okay. C, We want to focus on character growth. Focus on my character growth. Again, this goes into the whole God's character. He has strong character. We want to be seeking after Him, be like Him. We want to be showing God's character. Again, same as all these, only I can do that for me. And there's a lot in Scripture about character. There's a lot in Scripture about having the character after Christ. This goes to the whole problems again, the whole working out, the whole, you know, resistance. Our character is strengthened as we walk through tough times with God and with others. Not to be done alone, but to be walking through those. That's how our character is strengthened. James 1, 2 through 4, kind of about this, says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." It's that growth. It's that, and telling you, it's not fun, okay? That's one of my least favorite passages of Scripture, honestly, because that's saying that we are going to go through this, we are going to face trials of many kinds, but it's about our character. It's about us focusing on our character growth. The last one, again, as this spells out peace, which is what we want, as we want the God of peace, stay engaged with God's people in community. Again, God doesn't want us to do this alone. If we look at, you know, if we look again to, you know, believe truths, not lies, is that Satan says, oh, you can do this alone. You can do that. You know, you can just keep going. You don't need any help. And what the Scripture says, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." He knows we need to be together. We have tons of community groups. Again, not a shameless plug. This is biblical. It's biblical to be in community with people. Okay? There's many ways to do community. We've got some classes. You have your own community, maybe. Make sure it's with God's people. Make sure you're engaged with God's people. We've got some good, we do have good groups during the week, but we're always going to be starting more. Some morning classes or some couples stuff that we have starting soon. I mean, all this stuff. But the deal is, don't do life alone, because then the enemy wins. Okay? The enemy, many, many times also paralleled in Scripture as a roaring lion seeking for whom he may devour. What do lions do as they're going after herds? They what? They single that one out, right? Because it's a very easy target. And so that's the same thing, the enemy, because we can see this, maybe you're feeling, well, there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can check my attitude or have this character. Well, of course, there's no way we can do it alone. We weren't designed to do it alone. We were designed with Christ's power living in us, knowing our position, with other believers saying, sharpen me, make me stronger, make me better, help me out, challenge me when I need to be challenged. And so we need to make sure that we stay engaged. We're going to watch one short video, because we're going to end in Mark 4, where it's, you know, talking about a storm. Because a lot of times the worry comes into during our storms. We're going to watch a short, about 2-minute video. Got a few more things to say, and then we'll be going. So if we can watch this video now as we conclude. Thank you, Austin.
I know your story. I've read it cover to cover. And I know the storms that will come. The waves will swell and the sky will darken. Though you'll fight against the current, you'll be swept away. You'll feel helpless and abandoned. And you'll wonder where I am in the midst of it all. I know this isn't the way you thought our relationship would work. My plans are not for my comfort or yours. My purposes are always and only an expression of love. The scars in my hands are proof that love will sometimes lead you directly into the storm. Though you can't understand my plans, you can trust in one thing, that I am entirely good. You can't even imagine how good I am, and my plan for you is no different. When you shout asking where I am, know that I am right behind you, with my arms wrapped tightly around you, whispering, I will never let go. For you are the pinnacle of my creation and the center of my affection. There will come a day when I will quiet every storm and wipe away every tear. In that day, there will be no more pain or death. But until that day comes, I will be your anchor in this storm.
Mark 4, which is the chapter we started at with this parable. We're going to look at the last few verses starting in 35. There's no fill in the blank there during that last section. We just need to know, what we need to know is that Jesus is with us in these storms. So 35 says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. We can kind of relate to that because we've all been in storms. Maybe some of you guys are in storms right now, even as we looked at that video, just to kind of focus us. It says that he was in the boat with them, sleeping on a cushion. Okay. Many times it may feel like that. I know it you know, has for me. God, don't you get it? Don't you? You know, even they said, do you want us to drown? It says the boat was almost completely swamped. I mean, I have no idea what that, you know, water on the boat, they're about to go down. And we like feel that. We say, well, God, don't you get it? And of course, he said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And all it took was him getting up and calming the storm, quieting the waves. Say, stop. Peace be still. That was his timing for them. That grew their character. And they realized, hey, you know what? I can trust Christ. He is with me, right? And so there's many times as we're going through, if we have him in our hearts, if we have the relationship, he's there with us during that storm. It's not that he isn't there. It's that he's saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. Put that worry in the God bag. Let me lead, right? It's hard for us too. But he's with us during the storms. He's not absent. He may be sleeping, it seems like, but he was still with those guys. I'm still here. I got it taken care of. And so then that comes to them trusting in his character, even the way they ended. Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. So that's what he wants from us. It kind of relates to all that with our worry. Hey, if he can control the storms, he can handle our worries, right? Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes real quick as we end. Maybe you're out there and you've heard this, maybe you've heard the gospel story tons, that Jesus died on the cross for us because of our sin. But you know, even as I was talking about the position there, that your position isn't in Christ. Because you've never come to that point where you've said, Jesus, I believe in you. I want you to be my Savior. I want a relationship with you. There's no magic words. Again, it's all about heart. You know deep down whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus, whether your position is in him. And if you need to trust in him, it's very simple. It's in your heart praying to him, saying, Jesus, it's again, no magic words. It's a condition of your heart. If you're sincere and you pray to him, I guarantee you he's going to hear you. Jesus, I love you. I believe in you. Sorry I've resisted. Sorry for the things I've done, because God can't handle sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us, as that payment for sin. Say, God, Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done. come into my life. I want to follow you. I want you to be in my boat. I want you to be in my life. So if you need to do that, just go ahead and start praying that quietly right now, saying, Jesus, I'm giving in. I'm trusting you as my Savior. I want a relationship. So just keep praying that as I talk to others. Maybe others, you're out there, you say, you know what, this rock signifies worry. I'm worried about something big right now. I need to give it over. Again, maybe it represents one issue. Maybe it represents a lot. As we continue here, up here, still heads bowed and eyes closed. As we go to the response time, there's two little things of water up here, and just to signify you giving it over to God, giving over your worries and concerns. As we do our response, you can take your rock, pray over it now, and say, God, you know, I want to give this away. I want to give this to you. And you can walk up here and put it in this container of water, saying, God, I'm giving it to you. Maybe you want to pray with one of the prayer teams in the back and coming up. However God leads you in this, that's what it is there for you to be able to give your concerns over to Christ. As well, we are going to have the communion, as we always do, for you to understand and realize what Christ has done. And so it is open communion. If you're a believer, if you've trusted Christ, maybe even some this morning who just trusted Christ, this is for you to be able to say, Jesus, thank you for breaking your body. Thank you for shedding blood. So any of those things, you know, just be ready. And again, heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's someone out here, maybe one or two, whatever, this is your first time that you trusted Christ, that you just prayed, you just in your heart said, I want a relationship. I'm giving him. Will you just slip your hand up? Anyone out here that just said, I just trusted Christ. I just want to pray for you. Well, maybe there's someone, you know, many of you in here who, that this worry thing kind of resonates with you. And that you say, you know what, I want to give this over to God. You know, I want to give this rock over. So I just want you to go ahead and stand right now. Stand where you're sitting. Say, you know what, I'm going to go up. I'm going to come up in a minute. I'm going to put this in the water to give it over to God. If you feel like I need to give this over, just go ahead and stand right now with your rock. Stand where you're at. I'm going to pray in just 1 second. Just you guys even pray now as you want to give that over. But if you're out here and you need someone to talk to or pray with, we'll have prayer teams in the back right at the end of the aisles. Our communion is up here. Again, these buckets are up here for you to just give these over. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to enter into our time of worship, into our time of response. Jesus, thank you for those that are standing. For those of us who want to give our concerns over to you, let us trust you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your character. Thank you for your love. God, thank you that you're there with us. Let us believe that. Let us trust that. So be with these as they give their rocks over to you. Let them truly give you the control. Let them give them over. God, all of us, let us not pick it back up as we want to trust you. We just ask you to be with this response time as we worship. Thank you for your Spirit being here. We ask you to lead now as we sing, as we worship, as we take communion, as we just pray to you. We just give this to you in your name. Amen. Let's enter into our response time. Respond as you feel led.